Hello friends, you're listening to 4 Qubits in a Span. I'm Dan Abson, and this is not the first episode. Four Qubits and a Span is a new weekly podcast. It's going to start on the last Monday of August, that's August 28th, and every week I'm going to be talking for about half an hour about the Bible readings from the Bible Companion plan for the following Sunday. I'm a Christian lay preacher, and the Bible Companion is a very popular reading plan in my community, in the Christadelphian community. There are three readings every day. There are two from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. And the idea is to read through the Old Testament once in a year and the New Testament twice in a year. The Bible Companion is really good as a kind of a systematic and comprehensive reading plan. It's not like a lectionary or a themed readings planner. The readings for each day aren't themed or balanced out like a lectionary would be. But what it's really great for is getting an appreciation of the Bible narrative. And that's one of the things I'm really going to try and focus on in 4 Qubits and a Span, to really get the sense of story in each book. Because when we're reading the Bible, especially when we're reading just short passages and short texts, it's easy to forget that each passage is part of a longer work that makes up one of the books of the Bible. It's also easy to forget that each of the biblical books stands on its own as a piece of work. In the Protestant Christian biblical canon, there are 66 books. And while some may have been written by the same individuals or groups, each one has its own purpose and each one has its own story to tell. It can be quite difficult to really get into the biblical text sometimes, and so I'd really like 4 Qubits and a Span to be kind of a conversation partner, a way into the text for you as you're reading and as you're thinking about it. As I said, I'm a lay preacher. I don't have any formal training in biblical interpretation or study, so naturally I rely on the professionals, especially the scholars who translate the Bible into English. If you're an English speaker, you're really spoiled for choice when it comes to biblical translations. There are plenty to look at and consider, and each of them can be useful for different reasons. When we recognise that the work of translation isn't as simple as just being able to read ancient Hebrew or Aramaic or classical Greek, and that the translators have to draw on a number of sources in order to understand the words of the original ancient languages, it becomes a bit easier to appreciate that there is a whole world behind each of the Bible books. A whole world of thought and of literature and of religion and culture. There are lots of useful study Bibles out there, and I refer to a number of them frequently, as well as monographs and commentaries and study guides by other scholars, professionals and laypeople. And these are all resources that I draw on as I'm reading the Bible and trying to understand what it means for me as a Christian. The Bible is written to communities of people, and so it seems appropriate that we read the Bible in a community wherever possible, to get those different perspectives, and to draw on each person's knowledge and understanding as well. I have some friends who are much smarter than me. I'll be asking some of them to join me for some episodes of 4 Qubits in a Span, and they'll share their own thoughts and perspectives with you, and things they've learnt from their own particular fields of interest and biblical study. I hope that Christadelphian speakers will find this useful as well. A lot of speakers quite like using the portions from the Bible Companion Readings Planner for their Sunday morning talks for exhortations and sermons. And hopefully some of the things that we talk about on 4 Qubits and a Span will spark ideas and give a speaker a way into a text, an angle to consider or a particular point to look at that they can then go on and look at further and build a 15 or 20 minutes talk around that will be a source of encouragement and exhortation there at the start of the week, at the breaking of bread, the memorial meeting or the Eucharist meeting. The Bible is a challenging book to read for a number of reasons. The books that comprise the various biblical canons were written over the course of hundreds of years, and the source material, the texts and the oral traditions behind those writings, perhaps even spanning thousands of years. It runs the full range of genres: poetry, history, drama, law codes, prophetic oracles, discourse. And it's full of challenging passages that don't immediately make sense to us as 21st century readers. It runs the full gamut of human emotion and experience, and that's something that we'll be sensitive to as well. The name 4 Qubits and a Span actually comes from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Bible. And it's a reminder, mostly to me, of the core purpose of the podcast, which is to really think carefully about the Bible and where it comes from and what it's trying to teach us, and how we should try and learn from it. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. This is part of the well-known story of David and Goliath. And I'm not going to recap the whole story. I'd just like to focus on a little detail that gives us an insight into the world of the Bible. In the New Revised Standard Version, verse 4 of 1 Samuel 17 reads, "And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." A more dynamic translation might record Goliath's height as 9 feet, or more than 9 feet. So if the Hebrew Bible records Goliath's height as 6 cubits and a span, why have I called my podcast 4 cubits and a span? Well, the reason that most English translations read 6 cubits and a span is because they're all based on an original Hebrew text known today as the Masoretic Text. It's from around the 9th century CE, and it's named for the sect of scribes who produced it. The Masoretes had a very rigorous tradition of copying out the Bible texts precisely in order to make duplicate copies, and it's thought to stretch back hundreds of years, perhaps as far as the 2nd century CE and beyond. The text is in Hebrew, of course, and as I said, it's used in most English Bible translations as the basis of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. The measurement of 4 cubits and a span comes from a different version of the Hebrew Bible. This one's written in Greek. It's called the Septuagint, and you might have heard of it. The Septuagint is itself a translation of the Hebrew Bible, and it was produced probably from around 300 BCE to around 150 BCE for all the books to be completed. It was translated into Koine Greek, that's the Greek of the classical world, of the ancient Greek world. And as a language, as a literary language, its use continued for hundreds of years after the Greek Empire really lost control of the region, on into the era of the Roman Empire. The Septuagint's really an amazing piece of work. It brought the Hebrew Bible into the world of classical Greek culture of the Hellenized Mediterranean world, and it reached a huge audience. Its influence is wide-reaching. The Septuagint was the Old Testament in the very first Christian Bibles in the first few centuries of the Common Era. It's the version of the Hebrew Bible that's quoted in the New Testament. Whenever you read a quotation from the Old Testament in the New Testament, it always seems to be from the Septuagint translation. Other Jewish writers like the historian Josephus quoted from the Septuagint as well. So the impact and the influence of the Septuagint translation of the Hebrew Scriptures really can't be underestimated, especially for Christians. And it's in that translation of the Hebrew Bible that the height of Goliath is recorded as 4 cubits and a span. Josephus cites this height as well in his Antiquities of the Jews, in chapter 9 of book 6. In more recent times, since scholars have started translating the Hebrew Bible from the original Hebrew and the Christian New Testament from the original Greek, the Septuagint was, for some years, looked on as kind of an inferior translation. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 4 isn't the only place where the Septuagint translation diverges from the Masoretic text, and for that period the Masoretic text was thought to be superior. It was in the original Hebrew, and its provenance and the practices of the Masoretic scribes were well known to preserve texts faithfully across many copyings over hundreds of years. But in the middle of the 20th century, a number of scrolls were discovered by archaeologists in caves in Qumran. These ancient scrolls date from around the 2nd century BCE and appear to have been produced by members of the Jewish sect of the Essenes. There are some scrolls that describe the practices and daily life and beliefs of this community in the desert, but there are also a number of scrolls and fragments of parchment that are the earliest known copies of the Hebrew Bible texts written in Hebrew and Aramaic. Studying them has really changed the way that we have to think about the Hebrew Bible. On one hand, they attest to what's known about the Masoretic scribes, that their copying was incredibly faithful. Around 60% of the biblical texts from the Dead Sea Scrolls matches the texts and traditions found in the Masoretic scrolls. But what's really stunning is that about 40% of the scrolls and fragments found in those caves in Qumran provide evidence that supports other versions of the Hebrew scriptures, other translations, such as the Septuagint. And you probably guessed by now where this is going. One of the fragmentary scrolls of the Book of Samuel, designated 4Q51 Samuel, contains verse 4, and yes, Goliath's height is recorded as 4 cubits and a span. So it was no longer possible to view the Septuagint as an inferior translation of a Hebrew text that looked basically like the Masoretic text. Now, in and of itself, this might not be a very important point. It's only a very minor detail, and it doesn't really affect anything that a Jew or a Christian believes about the events recorded in the Bible. But it does confront us with some very important questions. We can be certain from the discoveries in Qumran that there was more than one version of some or even all of the books of the Hebrew Bible, of the Old Testament. The history of the Christian New Testament texts is practically straightforward by comparison, and certainly much shorter, but this should really stop and make us ask the question, how and why do we read the Bible? The writers of the Bible teach mostly by telling stories, but what's become increasingly clear over the last few hundred years is that each of those Bible texts, each of those books that make up our Bibles, has a story of its own. Its writers have a story, its audience has a story. They lived in a shared world, in a shared culture, whether it was ancient Israel or the Hellenized Mediterranean world. And when we're reading the Bible, that context is something that we have to bear in mind. These sacred and inspired texts contain the insights of a particular people in a particular place and a particular time. It tells us what they knew about God, what they understood about God. It tells us those things that God had revealed to them. The way in which stories about God and stories about their history are told by the writers is important to us. All of this teaches about the life of faith for the Christian. And I've tried to put a reminder of that in the logo for Four Cubits in a Span. The logo is produced by the lovely Jack Follis from Follis Creative, and it shows a scroll jar, just like the jars in which the scrolls and parchments were found in the caves in Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls. It also shows the ichthys, which is hopefully familiar to you as probably the earliest symbol of Christianity. That's a reminder that as we read the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, whether we're reading stories about Jesus or the emerging church, or stories about ancient Israel or the ancestors of the ancient Israelites, we need to appreciate where the text is coming from before we can think about where it's taking us to. Whenever we come to the Bible, we're looking for Jesus, we're looking towards the kingdom of God promised so clearly in the New Testament. Don't be afraid to ask questions when you're reading, and don't be afraid to be uncertain of the answers. I'm not certain of all the answers, and I know that some of the answers that I have right now will be wrong. I'm sure that among the things that I speak about on Four Cubits and a Span, there'll be things that I'll look back on and wonder how I could have got a passage or got an idea so wrong, but that's okay. There's really no other way to learn. There'll be an overview of each episode on the blog at fourcubitsandaspan.com, and also a list of the books that I consulted or that I was reading as I was preparing the show and thinking about the readings for each week. You'll also find a list of blogs that I recommend and some other podcasts which have inspired me to go ahead with this one. Especially, I'd like to draw your attention to the Lectio Cast, presented by Daniel Kirk. That's published from homebrewedchristianity.com. And it's the Lectio Cast which was the inspiration for the format of Four Cubits and a Span. Dr. Kirk publishes every Monday and talks about the readings from the Revised Common Lectionary for the following Sunday. So thank you very much for listening to this introductory episode of Four Cubits and a Span. The real first episode will be released on the 28th of August, entitled Grief and Comfort. It'll be covering the readings from the Bible Companion for the 3rd of September. We're picking up the Old Testament readings at the end of the First Temple period, where the nations of Israel and Judah are inevitably heading towards destruction and captivity in the land of Babylon. And those stories of exile and of loss are full of grief and mourning. For the New Testament readings, we're starting in 2 Corinthians, about building the body of Christ, about building up the church in the first century. And from there, we'll be moving on to Luke's gospel record. In the meantime, check out the blog at fourcubitsandaspan.com and the Facebook page. Just search for Four Cubits and a Span. Reading the Bible is an exciting journey, and I hope that you'll join me on Four Cubits and a Span.